God has an encouraging word for you and me today for the Tuesday edition of the Encouraging Word broadcast with Dr. Don Wilton. So good to welcome you into this time of studying the Word together, and in this case, a sense of a launch. As a matter of fact, in just a minute, Dr. Wilton will be speaking to students that are changing stages of life, moving from high school to jumping into college, or from college jumping into the workforce. And you may go, well, now this doesn't apply to me. Trust me, you will be surprised how much you and I will both learn at our stages of life. I'm 60, and the opportunity of seeing at different stages of life, God wants to move us through that transition to help us pay it forward. That's the message today from Dr. Don Wilton. And as we study, know that we're available for you. 866-899-WORD will connect you with us 24 hours a day. That's 866-899-9673. We'd love to connect with you. And now, Dr. Don Wilton.
As we were praying about this day, and as I began to think what it is that God would have us to do, the word finishing will, as we've just heard sung so grandly, kept driving in my heart, because all of us identify with that. And in the final analysis, I realized that for our young people, the hardest thing for them to really think about is finishing will. Now, I want you to just think about that for a minute. You know, like, thank you very much. Here I am graduating, going to college, thinking about getting married, and you tell me that I need to finish will? Go tell my grandpa that. He needs to hear that. And as I began to think about the scriptures and where we are in the story, God brought it all together, began to bring everything together in focus for me. And I realized what this is all about is paying it forward. To pay something forward means that you are today whom you will be tomorrow. I asked myself, what does it mean to pay something forward? How does that happen? Paying it forward begins in the past, begins back there. It's something of significance that happened. In his case, that's easy to see. He lost his father. It begins back there. Actually, this moment right now has already moved into the past. It's already in the past. As I say this word, it becomes something that already has happened. That's why this moment is so very, very important. But paying it forward not only begins in the past, but it operates in the present. It operates in the present. In other words, what took place back there is going to directly affect what you and I do now. Again, in this very moving story here, that's easy to see. It begins in the past, it operates in your present, but here's the bottom line, it serves well for the future. And again, in this illustration with this little boy, I think all of us would readily agree. I look forward to seeing that young man, Miles, grow up. We don't know what his young adulthood and his adulthood are going to look like, but he sure has got off to an incredible start. I really think that you've got a wonderful young man in the making. He's going to make one incredible daddy one day, and leader and contributor to society, based upon what we've seen. So paying it forward begins in the past, it operates in the present, and it serves well for the future. All right. I want you to open your Bibles to Galatians chapter 5. Galatians, the book of Galatians chapter 5. And I draw our attention today to one verse. Just one verse, Galatians chapter 5 and verse 16. This is what Paul said, writing to the church at Galatia. He said, I say to you, walk in the Spirit And you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. May the Lord write this word upon our hearts. Here's what Paul said. He said, walk in the Spirit. And if you walk in the Spirit, you're going to have the very means by which you're going to be able to combat the desires of the flesh, the pull of the world, the negativity, the challenge that is presented. We know that when he was writing to the church at Galatia, these people here, that he was writing about the reality of the world in which we live. No different to our day and age. His day was no different to ours in terms of what we have to deal with. So here he has two things that he's dealing with. On the one hand, he's got men and women and boys and girls who know and love the Lord Jesus Christ, and for want of a better description, have been brought up right, have been shown the way, and above all, have been filled with the Spirit of the living God. And on the other hand, there's the reality of all that the world has to offer. Now, the Bible is filled with warnings about the world. That's why the Apostle John said, be careful that you don't love this world. That's why Paul, writing, said this. He said, you need to be in this world. You cannot help being in the world, but don't be of the world. He wasn't advocating that in order to overcome that you become a monk, that you go and live in a cave somewhere, that you isolate yourself or get an island, go and live there and never have to deal with the world, that you shut out the world. There's a great dilemma even for parents today. I greatly admire how so many parents do everything they can to protect their children from this world. But I'm also going to say to you, it's jolly hard to protect children from this world. You know, you can say all day, well, I'm not going to allow my kids to see violence. It's almost impossible. I tell you what I'm going to do, says the parent, quite correctly. I'm going to shut off that television set and I'm not going to let them see bad behavior or immoral behavior. It's becoming increasingly difficult. It's becoming increasingly difficult to bring up children in today's world without them seeing a full display of the worst that a sinful world has to offer. There's almost a numbness that is creeping in to the ranks of our people because young people today in particular are being exposed to everything one can possibly imagine. Nothing is sacred anymore. Even our newscasts have no problem whatsoever in showing whatever they want to. And even the shock syndrome has been eliminated in many ways. People are no longer shocked by what they see. And you and I are living in a world today in which we become immune from that. We become desensitized. So for most people in today's world, we can look at something on television and we can see something horrific or something immoral, and with a click of a button, we can just erase it. We can turn to our favorite ball game or a cooking show. And within 2 minutes of having said, isn't that pitiful, we've forgotten all about it because we've completely erased that from our minds. It's just eliminated. We've got somewhere else to go. We can just switch the channel. We can change our tune. We can walk in the office. It very quickly, and we are rapidly becoming desensitized to whatever it is. We know it's there, but we know how not to have to deal with it very quickly. And Paul here was addressing this issue. He was saying the only means by which you are going to be able to stand is if you pay it forward. If you take that $20 bill and you do something extraordinary with it because of your past, you're going to do what you do in the present, and it's going to serve you well in the future. But Paul was pointing to the message of the cross, and he was saying in the message of the cross that the Spirit of the living God is the one who dwells in you to the point at which he is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that you could ask or even think. For greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. And in the bottom line, in the final analysis, what he was saying here is two things. When you walk in, you live out. When you understand who lives in, you are now able to live out. When you have paid it forward, because Christ on the cross paid that deposit forward for us, he established for us what only God can give to us, the power of the cross, so that when you give your heart and life to Jesus, you're able to do, stand, to live, to be all that God wants you to be. And Paul here made no bones about the fact that the lust of the flesh or the desire of the flesh, the pull of the world, is ginormous. In fact, previously in the same passage, he even puts this out for us, and he tells us all about the battle of the flesh. He tells us about the adulteries and the fornications and the hate and the witchcraft and the lying and the struggles and the sin and the sordidness and the morbidness, the death and the destruction, the world in which we live. Have you ever been to a high school reunion? I want to quickly add, I never have been. My high school is not in Cowpens. I've never been to a high school reunion. In fact, I'm not sure if I could tell you a single person who graduated with me or where they are. But I always hear people talking about high school reunions. You know, I went to my 30th or my 40th or my 50th reunion, and it absolutely amazed me looking upon the faces of people, and they're not talking in terms of age. They're talking in terms of the destruction of the sinfulness of this life. Do you know how many people get destroyed by this world? There are many things that contribute handsomely to a good life. Many things to a bright future. Education contributes handsomely to that. A good upbringing, good manners, hard work, good choices. These are all great things. But the greatest means by which you and I pay it forward is through Jesus Christ and him crucified. That's why I want to invite you today to give your life to Christ. So I want to do something just very simple here today. I've asked myself the question, what does it take? How does this happen? Three things. Number one, you have to intentionally receive it. You have to intentionally receive it. I find more and more people. In fact, I got a letter just recently from a young man. I really appreciated this letter too. Wrote me a dear Dr. Don note and gave it to me and said, would you read this and would you be kind enough to respond? And it was a personal note. I appreciated it very gladly. So much, in fact, that I actually went, I didn't just respond with a letter or a phone call. I actually went and said, hey, come and sit down with me and have a cup of coffee. And I just appreciate it. And basically, he said to me, Dr. Don, he said, I have been around you for all these years. And he said, you know, I'm about to move on and move up, and I got a lot of dreams and aspirations. And he said, I just wonder whether you've got any advice for me on how to do it. If someone came to you today, which they do, your sons, your grandsons and daughters, and your daughters, your friends and your neighbors, and come to you and say to you, what is the key? What is it that you've done in your life that made you who you are today, what would you say to them? Well, I told you there's a lot of great things. You know, get a good education. Make good choices. Strive for excellence. Go for the gold. You know, I'm all those kinds of things. Hit the ball straight. Don't compromise. We got a lot of good things. By the way, have you ever listened to these graduation commencement exercises at these great universities where they have all these famous Hollywood stars? Have you ever heard a Hollywood star deliver a commencement address? Have you ever heard such poppycock in all your life? And they give them an honorary doctorate for something like that? I heard one the other day. I said, what? Yeah, just, hey, listen, all of you, just go for it, man. Don't let anybody get in your way and just seize the moment. Make yourself some popcorn while you're doing it. No substance. What would you say? Number one, you have to intentionally receive it. Romans 10, 9 and 10, this is what God's word says. If you confess that Jesus Christ is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised Jesus from the dead, you will be saved. You have to intentionally receive God in Jesus Christ in order to be indwelt by the Spirit of God, who is the greatest resource that you will ever have. Take God out of your life, you're on your own. You have to intentionally receive it. I'm convinced, I'm your pastor and I love you to bits, and I'm convinced there's never a time that I stand here and preach that there's not at least one person here today, one person sitting in Genesis right now, that you're a good person, you're listening, all the other good things, you're here in the flesh, you're listening, you've got it all. You maybe have the education, you may have all the things necessary, but there's one thing you haven't done. You have not intentionally trusted Christ as your Savior. There's someone sitting here today that when I invite you to give your life to Christ in a minute, you will get right up to the edge, but you will not do it. There's nothing I can do about that because I cannot save anybody. Have you ever seen a young person who's grown up in the right home? All the love that you can imagine, provided with everything, given the best education. And they walk out that door and they go to college, they get into drinking. They get stuck in these infernal fraternities and sororities, drinking clubs. They start behaving immorally. Sadly, some of them start messing around with drugs and all kinds of stuff. And 2 years down the road, they're out of college and they've dropped out of this and they've fallen out of that. And you can go on, end up this and get caught with that, get arrested with this. I didn't mean to do it, end up in jail. And you look at a kid like that. There are people who just don't seem to get it. You have got to intentionally receive the gift of God in Christ. Number two, you have to intentionally cultivate it. You have to intentionally cultivate it. I want you to just look with me at Romans chapter 13. Turn to Romans chapter 13. Romans chapter 13 and verse 14, one of the most powerful verses I've ever seen. The Bible says here in Romans 13 and verse 14, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to gratify its desires. That little word there is clothe. Watch me, I'm going to do something I never do here. I just never do it because I don't impress anybody with my fantastic shirt. All right, this is what he says, all right? I don't have my jacket on right now. I look pretty sharp, don't I? Okay, I don't have my jacket on right now. Nothing wrong with the way I look. In fact, I need to preach like this a little more often. I don't have my jacket on. But what God is saying, listen, you can look all good and look all right, but what you've got to do in order to be complete, to have a power in you that nobody else can give, you have to clothe yourself in the mantle of God's righteousness. It is an intentional cultivation. You do that through your prayer time, through Bible study, through being in church. You know, we're talking about young people, and I understand young people. It's like the pot calling the kettle black. You know, one of the things I pray for our young people when they go off to these universities and that they would get involved in a local Bible-believing church. Do you know how many young people will have spent the last 18 years being involved in God's house actively? They go to college, stops just like that. Take a coal out of the fire, what happens? So one of the things I would say to parents, don't hold back on that, especially if you're paying the bill, which you are. Some of us are still paying the bills. You paying the bill. One of the things I would suggest to you is you sit down, you say, now listen, daughter, son, seeing that I'm paying the bill, here's a couple of things that I require in exchange. And one of those things should be, you go to church every week. Is that too much to ask, folks? Is that like a criminal death sentence? Am I missing something? You have to intentionally receive it. You have to intentionally cultivate it. And number three, you have to intentionally live it. You have to intentionally live it. So watch this. Go to chapter 14, Romans chapter 14 and verse 13. Romans chapter 14 and verse 13. Therefore, let us not pass judgment on one another any longer. And this is the part I want you to notice. But rather decide never to put a stumbling block or hindrance in the way of another person. That's how you live it out. I have to do that. You have to do that. A lot of things that I could do that I don't do. Not because of any major reason, excepting that somebody's watching me. Somebody said to me one time, why don't you drink alcohol? All right, let me ask you a question. What would you think if you saw me with a beer in my hand? Probably, I don't put a percentage on it, but there's a lot of you'd say, get a life, what's wrong with a beer? Now, I don't drink alcohol because I've seen what it does. I'm a pastor. But there's another reason. What do you suppose one of our young people would do if they came out to that club out there and walked out there in that club and they saw Dr. Don sitting there having a beer with somebody? That's what he's talking about. I don't have to have a verse to justify that. I just accept. Now, by the way, I'm not perfect now, please. It's hard enough. All of us feel that way. Parents, moms, dad, we all in that position, especially in our own homes, because that's where the water really hits the wheel. It's tough. Nobody's perfect, but he says here, decide never to put a stumbling block or hindrance in the way of someone else. I've decided I'm going to at least try, and when I don't, I apologize. I really apologize to you. And involves everything. Wearing my hat in a restaurant when I'm eating. Say, now you really need to get a life. What's wrong with wearing a hat? It's not the way I was brought up. I don't like it. It's talking respectfully to my elders. Reason I talk respectfully to my elders is because there may be a young person listening to me. I would rather help that young person to understand that there's something very special about talking respectfully to elders. I don't cuss, and there are a lot of reasons I don't cuss, but one of the reasons I don't cuss is because if I cussed, what do you think someone else would think? So is there any time at which it's good for me to cuss? You have to intentionally live it. You got to live it out. So all what I've just said to you, I cannot do, so I give up. That's why Paul said, walk in the Spirit, and you will not fulfill the desire of the flesh. You know why he said walk in the Spirit? Because he knows that you and I will never succeed. So I'm going to ask a question. You ready? I've said a lot of things. How many of you right now would say readily, I'm telling you, before God, I have failed and messed up more times than you can ever imagine. Raise your hand. If your hand's not up right now, you got a serious mess up going on. The only way that I can do that is walking in the Spirit. God, greater is He that's in me than he that's in the world. Isn't that great? That's what means to pay it forward. How about you today? Do you know the Lord Jesus? Have you trusted Him? Have you intentionally received Him? Are you intentionally cultivating the life of Christ? Are you living this out in your daily walk with Him? Are you living this out? I tell you, it's jolly hard, folks. I'm just one of all of us. We're all in this together. Let's really ask God to give us an extra dose of His grace and of His ability. Let us ask the Lord to help us pay it forward.
Oh, and the great joy is when we ask the Lord to help us do that or anything, God is ready to help us, to empower us. He who began a good work in me, He is faithful to complete it. God is ready to work in and through you. We'd love to pray with you about that. Won't you give us a call? 866-899-WORD is the number. That is 866-899-9673. Or meet us online at theencouragingword.org. Now more from Dr. Don.
Are you ready to give your heart and life to the Lord Jesus Christ? Why don't you pray this prayer with me right now? Dear God, I know that I'm a sinner. And I know that Jesus died for me on the cross. Today, I repent of my sin, and by faith, I receive you into my heart. In Jesus' name. My friend, I welcome you today into the family of God. This is exciting news. And by the way, don't go away, because I'll be right back in just a minute.
If the Lord has spoken to you, if you've given your heart to Christ today or rededicated your life, you need to tell someone. Why not tell us? Tell Dr. Don. You can email him right now, Don, D-O-N, at theencouragingword.org. He would love to hear from you, love to hear your story of how God's working in your life. But we'd also like to speak with you right now, immediately. 866-899-WORD will connect you with one of us, happy to talk, to pray, to connect you with resources that'll help you grow. That is 866-899-9673, or meet us online at theencouragingword.org. And before we get away, closing thoughts from Dr. Don.
Thank you for your partnership with The Encouraging Word. God's doing great and wonderful things. And I want you to know that I pray for you. I want to pray for you right now. In fact, you can see that number on the television screen. We've got people 24/7 praying for you. You can call in your prayer requests at any time. Let me pray for you right now. Dear God, I want to pray for my precious friends right now and for someone especially in need of prayer. Lord Jesus, please touch them. Touch their lives and be a blessing to them today in every way. And I pray this in the strong and wonderful name of the Lord Jesus.